Welcome to Faith and Freedom. We hope to inform, inspire, and encourage you to stand up for faith and freedom as we discuss victories and challenges in the courts, in public policy, and in the culture. Faith and Freedom is brought to you by Liberty Counsel, a litigation, education, and policy organization. Join us now as we address the latest cultural issues across America and around the world.
We're in this fight for truth. Hi, I'm Matt Staver, founder and chairman of Liberty Counsel. Joining me on Faith and Freedom to talk about this issue is Holly Mead.
Well, Matt, you know, obviously when you founded Liberty Counsel in 1989, the purpose was to fight to protect human life, the sanctity of human life, unborn life, all the way from conception until natural death. And this is one of our fiercest battles that we're engaged in. However, it is now expanded to biological truth. You know, we have this LGBT agenda that is just encroached. I mean, Satan went after Jesus and his identity, and he's doing the same thing today, especially targeted at our children.
Yeah, if you look at going back to 1989, Liberty Counsel had two primary goals and mission pillars: religious freedom and the sanctity of human life. But it was very soon into the early 1990s, around 1992, that we added the third prong because of so many attacks against God's design for marriage and family.
Right.
And now we see that that's a major aspect of what we do. And so we're fighting for truth. We never thought we'd have to fight for biological truth 36 years ago when we founded Liberty Counsel, but we're having to fight for something that's objective, like biology, male and female, right. Your absolute truth that comes down to science that should not be debatable.
Right, and we're defending these people for their religious freedom not to embrace the language and the LGBT agenda. For example, I mean, Jonathan Zinsky went after Liberty University, deceived Liberty University's. He was hired as a male to do a specific job. After his 90-day probation, he said, oh, sorry, I'm going to be a female now. I've been taking hormones after I was hired. I want to be identified as Eleanor. I mean, this is the kind of stuff we're involved in.
He intentionally set up Liberty University because then he became represented by the ACLU, and the case is now on appeal, and we'll be arguing that case in 2026. But he was taking female hormones for 4 months before he applied. And then when he applied, the doctrinal statement that he had to affirm is very, very clear that Liberty believes biblically we are created in the image of God, male and female, and that to identify as a sex opposite than your birth sex is a sin.
And this is a Christian university. So if he had that plan in mind,
really pretty obvious to me, I think he wanted to take down Liberty University and change their doctrinal.
Yeah, it's a setup. Yeah.
So that's why this case is so critically important. Pray for this case, as the matter of Liberty University, we'll be arguing that later this year or in 2026 with a decision sometime in 2026. We've already done all the briefing this year, and it's ready for the Court of Appeals to set the oral argument. On another case involving God's design for biological truth in the family, how he created us in his image, we represent a University of Arizona former professor. He was an ethics professor, Daniel Grossenbach. He was fired after he publicly advocated for parental rights at a local school board meeting where his children attend the public school. It has nothing to do right. with the University of Arizona. His statements were not related to his teaching at the University of Arizona. He made that clear. He was there as a father on behalf of his children because the public school policies they learned were actually promoting LGBTQ agenda against the children, helping them to become gender confused, and then intentionally hiding that information from the parents.
Right. They were being very secretive against the parents. And when he found out, well, what could any good father do? He's going to speak out at the school board meetings and say, this is not acceptable. My children attend here, and we and these other parents will not stand for that.
And so then in another case, East Baton Rouge Parish Library, we've also sent a demand letter there, which could result in a lawsuit on behalf of a bivocational pastor, Luke Ash. He was also working with the library, and he was unlawfully fired from his job as a library service technician for refusing to use false pronouns for a female colleague. A female colleague wanted to be referred to by false pronouns. He said he couldn't do that. They terminated him based upon a policy that says essentially you can use whatever pronouns you want to, a policy that no one was aware of, but they terminated him for refusing to lie. I mean, here's a pastor who also preaches, and his part-time job is at the library, and they're forcing employees to lie, to use a pronoun in a library, a place of learning where English is pretty important and grammar is pretty significant, and they're telling you this person wants to be referred to by a plural pronoun.
Well, sadly, the public libraries as a whole have gone very woke, and they're pushing this kind of agenda. And you can probably find these kind of books pushing this kind of agenda in the front of the library, when if you look for a Christian book, it may not be so easy to find. But, you know, he was willing to use the person's name, but he wasn't going to use a false pronoun.
And how many times do you actually refer to a colleague by a pronoun, or how many times do you have to refer to a colleague by a pronoun? You can easily use their first or last name or both.
Right.
You don't have to use pronouns. That is an ideological, forced, government-imposed speech that the library wants to put on these individuals. And this is a public library, so they're constrained by the First Amendment. They can't force this employee, Luke Ash, to speak a language that is false or against his particular individual request and constitutional right. We also filed amicus briefs, too, actually, in a case called Childs, and that was a case with respect to a counselor in Colorado that's at the U.S. Supreme Court. Colorado law said that Christian counselors or counselors could not provide truth to individuals that were gender confused. In other words, you got a gender confused minor coming in with their parents and they want to overcome, they want to eliminate these unwanted same-sex attractions that they may have, behaviors that they may be engaging in, or confusion that they may be experiencing.
The same kind of cases that we fought with in Florida, with these counties and cities were trying to pass these bans where these counselors couldn't help these children who wanted help. And then we ended up winning at the 11th Circuit.
Yeah, we won
so
twice.
Prayerfully, this will be this will make an impact on the nation when this
Well, in
case.
Fact, it's our case in Otto, and then also we have another one out of Tampa that we won at the 11th Circuit Court of Appeals that created the conflict in the circuit that paved the way for this Childs case out of Colorado, Childs versus Salazar, to go to the U.S. Supreme Court. So we filed an amicus brief asking the court to take the case. We filed a brief on the merits of the case. Argument went well. We'll have a decision no later than the end of June 2026. I anticipate we will win this case, but I also anticipate that these places that have these laws, 87 of them, when you count the states, about half of the states that are blue states, and also cities or counties that have them, will probably resist and not, you know, voluntarily repeal these laws. So I think we may have to go after them to implement the ruling and the victory from the Supreme Court. Then we also have a case involving Kaylee Bush. We've sent demand letters to the Miss America pageant. She was crowned Miss North Florida 2025. And then she was presented after she was crowned with a newly minted contract that had a different definition regarding female.
Now, just think about the irony of this, Matt. I mean, this was a pageant created to celebrate and help promote women, give them scholarships. And it's not just a beauty pageant. I mean, they have to have, you know, scholastic smarts involved here and things like
talent.
I mean, so she won this pageant, but yet they changed the contract midway after she'd already won her crown and said, wait, no, we have to include gender confused males that could be identified as females.
So under this new definition, a person could be a quote female under the Miss America pageant and compete if they were born male but then went through surgery before the age 14 and the various hormone drugs and so forth.
But you just said the cue there, they have to be they have to have gone through that before 14, which means they're a minor.
They're a minor, and in Florida, that's illegal. That's illegal. So that's still ongoing. It's still not resolved yet. We're still continuing to press that. Kaylee is an amazing young woman. She is an incredible Christian believer, leader. She would represent Miss America well, and that's why she chose Miss America, because Miss Universe already went the wrong way. Mm-hmm. So pray for this case and many of our other cases as well. For more information, go to Liberty Counsel's website, lc.org. That's lc.org.
You've been listening to Faith and Freedom, brought to you by Liberty Counsel. We hope that we have motivated you to stand up for your faith, family, and freedom. Get informed and get involved today. Visit Liberty Counsel's website at lc.org, where you can obtain email alerts and other information to keep you informed and involved. You can also call us at 407-875-1776. The website again, lc.org.